This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.
Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for meeting us as we've worshiped you in song. Now, we ask that you quiet our hearts and focus our minds, prepare us to receive your word, not just to hear it, but to be changed by it. Bless Pastor Cal, the message that you've placed in his heart. We're listening, Lord. Speak to us. And we pray, and all God's people said, amen.
Yeah. I thank God. I love to watch our young people serve the Lord, and it's just great to see all of you in the wrong seat this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Andrew, for putting that together this morning for us. And we just, there's really no other time of the year like it is right now. I mean, Thanksgiving and Christmas just usher in a new attitude, a fresh spirit. And I thank God for that, don't you? Let's give God one more big hand of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, this is Advent season. We're in the second sermon of our Advent series. Last week we talked about hope, and this morning we're going to talk about peace. And really, Advent is four pillars of faith that prepare us for the birth, celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm excited this morning about bringing some good cheer and bringing just a message from the Word of God. Now, we're going to be in for the most part, for the morning, John 16:33. And I'm going to read some other scriptures in John as we move through the message this morning. But I just want to kind of give you some background before we get started. Jesus has just told his disciples that he's going away. And where he was going, they couldn't come, at least not yet. And then he gave them some disturbing words, and he told them one of them that night would betray him. And one of them would deny him. As a matter of fact, he told them, he said, all of you will run off and leave me in my greatest hour of need. You'll be scattered. And in just a matter of a few hours, all of that came to fruition. Now imagine what those words did for the disciples. I mean, I'm sure it left them feeling like, we don't understand this. I'm sure they were confused. I'm sure they probably were disappointed in what he'd said. Maybe even a little discouraged, maybe even a little depressed. I'm sure they felt isolated. They just didn't understand what was going on here. And what they needed was peace. And can I just kind of bridge that 2,000-year gap? What we need here today is peace. Amen? I mean, just like those disciples, we have some of those same kinds of feelings from time to time. We go through some tough issues. Like for the last 2 months, we've had a lot of our church family has had to say goodbye to loved ones, and many are battling cancer and just hanging on by a thin thread, and others have got relationship issues, and there's all kinds of tribulation and trials and trouble around us. Someone has well said, you're either heading into tribulation, right in the midst of tribulation, or coming out of tribulation. And it's like, maybe you're here today and you're feeling isolated, or you feel like nobody understands, or you're discouraged, or you're a little down or depressed. Listen, folks, we all go through this stuff. All of us do from time to time. It's like you're climbing on mountains of misery or groping in valleys of agony. But here's the good news. Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Let's read the scripture. Let's all stand. I'm about to preach the introduction here before I even get to the message. So look at John 16. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to back up, Ellen. I'm going to jump on John 14, 27 first, because this is really what he embellishes over there in John 16. Jesus said in John 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now jump on chapter 16, verse 33 with me. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." Now, we're either going to believe Jesus or we're not going to believe Jesus. We can have peace in any circumstance, in every situation, the peace of God. "In the world, you will have tribulation." Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
That's true. But, here's another one of these big buts in the Bible. "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." I have overcome the world. That's great news today, brothers and sisters. Father, thank you for your truth. Thank you for the tremendous, tremendous way you do things and the way you share things with us. God, we're grateful for the peace that passes all understanding. We're grateful for the peace that Jesus brings between us and you. We're grateful for the peace that Jesus gives in our lives between us and other people. And we're grateful for the peace that comes to settle our disturbed hearts from time to time. Lord, make this real to our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of y'all were alive during the civil rights movement? Not like this, y'all, like this. I want to be able to see. Okay. All right. If y'all remember, you know, they were doing marches and that kind of thing, you know, and they were standing up for injustice and rising up against injustice and some other things. But the theme song, I don't know if y'all remember this, was "We Shall Overcome." I've come here today to tell you that's the theme song of every Christian. We had one amen over here. That is our theme song. We can overcome because Jesus has overcome. Y'all with me so far? Now, he's promised us peace, the peace that passes all understanding. He's promised us peace that will guard our hearts and guide our minds. He's promised us peace in John 14, 27. John 16, 33, and all throughout the scriptures. He even promised us, you remember when the angels were singing at the birth of Jesus, what were they singing? "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men." And so it is the peace of God that will help you to overcome anything and everything. Look at somebody and say, "Man, that's good news." All right, here we go. Now, Jesus promised us peace. He said, "I'm going to leave it for you. I'm going to give it to you. But you've got to receive it." And so after quite a bit of studying this last week or 10 days on this subject, I've come to the realization that this peace is available, but it's not automatic. There are two conditions that have to be met. Y'all ready? I can just tell by looking at some of you, you need what we're talking about. You need this peace. We're all going to need it. His peace, first of all, is for those that abide in him. Did you catch that in verse 33? He said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." In me you may have peace. Now, the peace of God doesn't just come to folks who were saved. I know a lot of saved folks, and they're a basket case. They don't have that peace. Well, the reason for that is this peace that he's talking about is only for those who are willing to abide in him. So we got to unpack that word abiding. Are y'all ready? Just turn one page to the left in John 15. Listen to this. Woo! John 15, 4, abide in me and I in you. Y'all, it's just one page to the left, okay? Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except or unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Verse 7, if you abide in me, now watch this, listen to this, lean in, don't miss this. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Hallelujah. So, the peace that we're talking about that Jesus leaves and Jesus gives is for those who are willing to abide in him. So what does it mean to abide in him? Well, it's not just for those who are in him. It's for those who are abiding in him, who have a conscious dependence on him, who are trusting in him 24/7, who are following as close as they possibly can and being obedient to his call and command on their lives, who are in the word, these folks who are just all in. That's who this is for. And so maybe if you're lacking peace today, you need to take a little step closer. I love y'all, but I want to tell you, as much as I love you, Jesus loves you infinitely more than I do. And he's here for you. And there isn't anything that he cannot do. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think according to the power that works within you. Call unto him and he'll answer you. And he'll do great and mighty things in your life that you don't know anything about. And he'll give you his peace. And if you get his peace, you got the greatest peace anywhere. And it's for those who are willing to abide in him. It's the peace that just passes all understanding. And it only comes to those who are willing to be totally dependent upon him, who are trusting in him and following as closely as they can. You know, in John chapter 15, he's talking about the vine and the branches. And unless the branch abides in the vine, hello, it can't produce any fruit. And no more can we unless we abide in Christ. He's talking in John 15 about a lot of these things that we call the, you know, fruits of the Spirit. And for the Christian, for the believer who is following closely and is so connected to Christ and is utterly dependent upon him for everything, he begins to grow these things like love. Say love with me.
Love.
Joy.
Joy.
Peace. There it is. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. And here's a good one. Self-control. And if you're not getting any of that fruit in your life, it's because you're not abiding in Christ like you can. Oh, this is good stuff. God's been stepping on my feet all week. And so I'm just passing that blessing along. Say, keep passing it, brother. All right. Now, so that's the first condition that needs to be met. If you really want the supernatural, unbelievable peace of God, you've got to be willing to abide in him. You've got to be willing to be totally trusting in him, to honor him by being obedient to his word and all those things that it means to follow Christ. All right, it's not just for those who are in him. It's for those who are abiding in him. Here's the second truth I want to give you. His peace is found in his word. Now, look at verse 33 again one more time. He says there in verse 33 of chapter 16, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." What things? What things? Well, he's been speaking to them, to the disciples, all through the Gospel of John. He's been sharing the doctrines of faith with them. And he says, if you will be found in the Word of God, if you will not only read, but you'll apply what God's Word tells you to do, you begin moving towards that peace. Look at John chapter 13, verse 1. We're not going to be very far apart from chapter 16, but I wanted to read this to you. 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And he proved that love in this text, in this passage of Scripture, by taking up the towel of servanthood as a slave, and he washed the feet of his disciples to express his love for them. And then just a few hours after that, he's dying on a cross for them. Can I just tell you, God loves us. There isn't anything you can do that'll make God love you any more than he already does right now. Say it like Billy Graham: God loves you.
God loves you.
He loves you. There isn't anything that you can't do that's bad that'll make God love you any less. He's just going to love you. Aren't you thankful for the love of God? And if you'll sell out to that truth, you can begin moving towards the peace of God, because he loves you. And he wants to give you everything that he wants to give you. But sometimes we got to walk by faith and say, Lord, I don't understand all this. I don't get this. This side of heaven, I don't have an answer for the question I've got, but I'm just going to trust you because you love me. I don't know who I'm talking to here today, but that's the first thing you need to hear. God loves you. And then John 14, verses 2 and 3, Jesus is talking about going away, and he says, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Jesus, we talked about this in the war room this morning, that God wants to be with us, not only now, but for all of eternity. And he's prepared heavenly places for his people. Risa, Belinda, Pat, all of you that have had to say goodbye to a loved one, Jesus has prepared a place for every one of his children. And when he's ready, he'll come and get you and take you to where he is. Whew. I had somebody tell me this week, I don't know if there's a heaven. I said, you don't? I said, heaven is not only a place, heaven is a person. And his name is Jesus. I hadn't been to heaven, not yet, but I'm going. And you need to understand that man, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our home's laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Angels beckon us from heaven's open door. Oh, I can't feel at home in this world anymore. There's the second truth you need to hang your hat on. God is preparing a place just for you. Now, John 15, 16, watch this. Billy got in trouble here about a year and a half ago. He was talking about, he decided to tackle the doctrine of election. And he got some long looks that day. But here's the deal. Watch this. John 15, 16, he said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. Now, I don't understand that, but I'm not called to understand everything. I'm just supposed to believe everything that he says. He says, I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. that your fruit should remain. And then watch this, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Here's the third thing that you can hang your hat on. Jesus has chosen us to live meaningful lives. He wants us to bear those fruits of the Spirit. And in order to bear those fruits of the Spirit so that others can see Jesus in us, we've got to stay connected to the vine. Man. Y'all have to forgive me, but I kind of like to watch y'all. You know, it's not about going out the door here and say, oh, Brother Cal, what a great sermon today. It's watching the sermons being lived out in your lives. Seeing the Word of God being just catapulted in your spirit and so that all could see it. God has planned for your life to bear spiritual fruit. Those fruits of the Spirit. And that fruit might remain. And that glorifies Jesus. We need to move on. Number four. John 16, 23 and 24. Look at this. Now, y'all, this is one of the greatest promises of prayer in all the Bible. Are y'all ready for this? You're not ready. John 16, 23. And in that day, you'll ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Do we need to read that again? Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Now, here's the deal. If you're abiding in Christ and you're following so closely and you're so all in with him and you understand you're in the Word and you pray a prayer that's going to glorify God and you give him a request that's going to give him blessing and honor, you're going to get an answer to that prayer. And you're going to pray the things that Jesus is praying. That's why he says, whatever you ask in my name, in my will, what will glorify me, it'll be done for you. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Just think about that for a while. I could park right here and preach that this morning. But what a great promise in prayer. How many of you would like to have your prayers answered? Start praying for the things Jesus prays for the things Jesus wants, for the things that Jesus desires, and you'll get an answer for that prayer. Here's the last one. These things I have spoken you that in me you may have peace. Watch this. How many of y'all know Mr. Big Stuff back here? He actually listens to my sermons because if you're not on Facebook, if you are on Facebook, just go to Teddy Bigger's page. And you'll find Mr. Big Stuff. And he says, now watch this, lean in. I've said all of that to say this. And he starts quoting me, you know. Well, lean in. Watch this. Don't miss this. I've said all of that to say this. In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. He's taken on everything that needed to be took on. And he destroyed the works of the devil. He overcame the world through his death. You see, through his death, sin no longer has a hold on humanity. Through his resurrection, he overcame the world. Because do you know where Jesus is this morning? He's not out here on Riverside Drive. He's over the throne of the universe. He's sitting over the throne of the universe. He is at the right hand. That's the power seat of God. And he is ruling over the affairs of men. God knows what's going on in your life. He knows totally what you're up against. Jesus has been there. He's been through sorrow. He's been through temptation. He's been through difficulty. And he's overcome all of that for you. So that you might be one with him. Whew. I don't know who needed to hear that today. But Jesus said these words to his followers in the shadow of a cross just before his death. And he said, take heart. Be not afraid. Everything's good because I've overcome the world. And he can overcome that situation that you're up against today. I don't know what all of you all are facing here. I don't even understand or begin to know every road that everybody's on right now. But we've had a lot of sorrow. We've had a lot of suffering take place. We've had a lot of loss lately. And you need peace. You need the peace of God. Christ loves you. And if you'd be willing to say, Lord, I don't understand. But you've got all my attention. And I'm going to follow you until you come to get me. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to depend upon you. I'm going to love you. And I'm going to serve you until you come. Right then, you've got the peace of God that passes all understanding. And he'll guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And that's what a lot of us need here this morning. Would you bow your heads with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. We give an altar call here, and it's an opportunity for you to just let go and let God. And some of you need to come today publicly to an altar or maybe to a prayer room or a war room and just ask someone to pray for you on your behalf that you might receive the peace of God today for that situation that you're in. We'd love to pray for you. We'd love to pray with you. Don't just sit there in a chair. Take a stand for Jesus and say, I don't care who knows, I need the peace of God. And you would come today. You don't have to say anything, preach, sing, or any of that. By your coming, we'll know that you're asking for the peace of Almighty God. Father, I pray right now for those within the sound of my voice. Every one of us, God, needs your peace. Because we all go through tough things that we don't understand. We all have seasons of heartbreak, and we all have times of trouble, isolation, loneliness, persecution even. We go through times of doubt. We go through seasons of agony. Oh God, give us your peace today. Help us to meet these two conditions, to be in your word and to be abiding in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Let's stand quietly, reverently, and we're going to sing. And you come. Prayer room's open, altar's open. Would you come? Would you come?
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.